Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the fifth perek of Vava Kama, Shor Shenogecha Zipporah, and I'm sure you can see it quite clearly in the middle of Daf Mem Vav. Before we begin the text, let us glance at the side in the margin where we have some comments. The first comment, Heora Klolis, a general word of note. Aleph, Ad Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. We're right now on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. So for the next three Daf, HaGemara, I should say for the next four Daf, that's Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, and Mem Tes, HaPerek Oisek Be'ikur Be'shor HaMazik. The focus is on the ox that causes damage. Midaf Mem Tes Amud Beis Ad Sof Pirkin B'dinei Bor. From Mem Tes till the end of the Perek, The focus will turn to the pit that is the source of damage. On an immediate nature, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Haim Ha'ubar. We're going to see in our Mishnah a pregnant animal that's part of a damage. An ox gores a pregnant animal, and we find a fetus, a miscarriage. We'll also see a pregnant animal that is the source or the cause of damage. Was the pregnant animal in its state of pregnancy when the damage took place, when it caused damage? Or had it miscarried prior to the damage that it caused? And that at the point of the damage it was no longer pregnant, so that the fetus, the vlad, is not part of the act. So we have a topic heading which is stated in very general terms, Haima Ubor Hoya Bishas Hanezek O Lo Shekvar Meis Kodim Lochein. Was the fetus, the offspring of this cow, whether the cow is the victim, the pregnant cow is the victim, or the pregnant cow is the aggressor, was the fetus part of the mother at the time of damage, or was it possibly dead or miscarried or born or whatever prior to the act that took place? A diamond marking appears, and under our mivneh, our structural note, we highlight, we show you a diamond. Lahavlid hadimyon bein arisha v'seifa. We're using it to try to parallel the structure, show a parallel structure between the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah, which presents a separate, a totally separate case. But you'll see structurally a similarity. Now the Mishnah. Shor, and we also point out that the shor here is a shor tam. Shonogach es hapora. V'nimtza ubra betzida. An ox gored a pora, a cow, and a fetus was found dead by the mother's side. V'ein yodua, and we do not know. Himad shelo nogcha yelled up, if prior to the goring the birth took place, and the fetus's death is not a result, therefore, of the goring, or after the goring, the cow miscarried, and you have now a dead fetus. Obviously, as a result of the goring, the mother has also been damaged. The aggressor animal we described already as a shor tam. It's a docile animal. It hasn't demonstrated its proclivity for damaging. It's not a muad. A shor tam in general pays half damages. And that's when I know exactly what happened. In this case, there's an element of doubt concerning the fetus. Therefore, payment-wise, mishalem chatzi nezek lepara, half damages will be paid for the mother. The half damages are because you're dealing with a shor tam, and it definitely caused damage to the mother. Uravia nezek levlad, 1/4 damage value as far as the miscarriage is concerned. You see, if you knew that the aggressor was responsible for the vlad, for the offspring, what happened to it, so then you would pay half damage. Now we have a suffix. When you have a suffix, so the Mishnah's approach, which is one Tanaic school of thought, says when there's a suffix, you split. So instead of paying half damage, and instead of saying you're that since we don't know, you're exempt, so you pay half of what you would have had to pay. What is that? 1/4. Half of a half is 1/4. V'chein para shenokhes ashar, v'nimtza vlada betziva. Here we have a pregnant cow that is that's aggressive, and there's a suffix whether the fetus was partner in crime. After the dust clears, I see a victim animal. I see a shor that's victim, and I see a fetus that came from the aggressor animal. However, the ain yodua, but I do not know, im ad shelo no koyoda, was the miscarriage, or was the birth before the goring took place, and the vlad is then not a partner in crime. Im mishano koyoda, or if after the goring, then the birth took place. Mishtalim chatzi nezek minapora, half damages will be collected from the mother. Uravia nezek min havlad. Now this phrase is not clear. The Gemara will elaborate on the superficial level of reading. It means 1/4 of the damages will be collected from the vlad. A shor tam in general pays, we say migufa, from the body itself, from the offender itself. You look at the value of the offender. And in accordance with the value of the aggressor animal, we'll say maximum amount that would be paid is the value of the animal, if that is what the half damages happens to cost. So we speak in terms of payment from the animal, because that is your source of collection. What's problematic about this part of the Mishnah is that if you do the arithmetic, you're getting the victim gets half damage from the mother, 1/4 damage from the vlad, 3/4 damage is covered. But a person who is the victim of a short tam is not entitled to any more than half damages. Why 3/4? That will be explained in the Gemara. Well, that will be dealt with by the Gemara. In the meantime, though, the first point that is of interest to the Gemara is that regarding the pregnant animal that was victim of goring, and I don't know whether the vlad was miscarried because of the goring or the mother had miscarried before the goring took place. Amar of Yudam Ashmuel, Zu Divrei Sumchus. The double underline highlights a machlokes tanoim. How do we rule regarding money matters that are in a state of doubt? So Rav Yudah says that our Mishnah that says you're going to pay 1/4 damage for the vlad, for the offspring that was miscarried, is Sumchus's opinion. the Dalmar Momon Hamuta Besofek Chokin, that Momon, money matters that are in a state of doubt, Muta Besofek in a state of doubt, Chokin, you divide, you split. Aval Chachomim Oimrim, Ze Klau Godol Bedin, Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olov Harayo. Very dramatic sounding presentation here. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, that the Chachomim who argue with Simchas tell us a general principle, a great principle, Klal Gadol, a great principle in law. Hamotzi Mechaver, one who is trying to extract payment, to claim payment from his friend, the burden of proof is upon him. If you want to change, we'll say, the status of possession of money, the money right now is in the possession of Mr. A. Mr. B comes along and wants to change that by claiming for Mr. A payment upon him. He was trying to change the status, is the burden of proof. Our mission doesn't say that. We have here a Vlad. I don't know what, did the aggressor cause the miscarriage or not? Split. It doesn't say here that the owner of the pregnant cow that was victim has to bring proof in order to get any payment. That then conforms with, or to Simchas' approach, that Momen Amuta B'Safek, Chokin. You notice we have a bracketed section, more it's rather long bracketed section. What this enables us to do is to skip initially the bracketed section, and you'll notice after the bracketed section on Amud Beis, the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi. That means we have a Tanaic support for that which Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel taught us, that the issue of Momen Amuta B'Safek, what do you do, is itself a machlokus between Simchas and the Chachamim. So that when you look at the Tanaic source there on the upper part of Omid Beis in the framed section, do you see the underlining of Simchas and the underlining of the Chachamim? And when you look at the Chachamim, they say Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya. That is exactly what Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel taught right in the Gemara we just read. We have a note that accompanies the bracketed section. Let's read the note together. It says basically what we already said, but it's nice to see it inside. In our margin, we've written by the starred note, Matras HaSugraim, the goal, the purpose of these brackets, Laros Shabrais Shemuv L'Kamon Kesiua, to show that the brisa that's brought later on as a source of support, Muvah L'Seyot Dvarei Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel Shemofim Kam L'Fnei HaSugraim, it's as a support to what Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel taught just now. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be questioning or asking, why does Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel have to present the Chachomim in such a, we'll say, dramatic fashion? What is he accomplishing by saying, Zeh Klal Godol Bedin? This is the great principle in law. So now, let us turn to the Gemara. Lama li lemeimar, we're reading within the brackets, why was it necessary to state ze klal godol bedin? Couldn't Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel simply say avo chachomim omrim hamotzi mechav l'raya? What do I gain by that additional phrase that this is a great principle in law? Itzterich, I need it. I learned something from this phrase. Da'afilu nizak omer bori umazik Oimer Shema. Even if the victim is making a claim from a position of bori, of certainty, and the mazik, the aggressor, is responding with doubt, maybe. He says, maybe. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. And the nizak, the claimer, the victim, is saying, you definitely are the source of the cause of the miscarriage. Hamotzi mechaver olavaraya, the nizak, the victim who is trying to extract payment, has to bring proof that even though his opponent is not contradicting him in a definitive fashion, that is not enough to strengthen the victim's claim, to enable him to collect without actual proof, but rather, if you want to get payment, you'll have to bring proof. You bring forth witnesses that can testify that they saw your animal was still pregnant at the time it was gored. Inami, another lesson to be learned from Zeklau Godel Bedin, L'chi ha di itmar. It will have value as far as what Shmuel will tell us in a short while. We continue with the Gemara. Amochir shor l'chaver v'nimtza nachon. Man sells an ox to his friend, and it turns out that the guy bought a goring ox. Not a pleasant, docile animal, but it's a ferocious, goring ox. You can assume that your standard ox buying customer is not interested in such a creature. And yet, he bought an animal. He wasn't aware of that beforehand. And it turns out he bought a ferocious creature. Rav Omar Hareze Mekach Tois. Rav says, this is a deal under mistaken circumstances. And the buyer returns the animal and gets his money back. Ushmuel Omar. It's not a Mekach Tois. You can't cancel the deal. Yochol Sheyoimalo. The seller wants to keep the money he got, the seller can say, L'shchito mechartiv loch, I sold you the animal for slaughtering purposes. So it's a little bit, it's a feisty animal, but moments after you bought it, you could have slaughtered it and finished. I sold it to you for slaughtering purposes. There's no grounds for claiming a mistaken deal. Let us glance at Rashi. Notice we have a star in the Rashi. Inami l'chi ha d'yocho lomar l'shchita machar tivloch. The seller can say to the buyer who bought what turns out to be a goring animal, I sold it to you for slaughtering purposes. V'yaf agav d'iko l'meimar, even though there's room to say, and for the benefit of the buyer, Zil basa ruba, follow the majority, v'ruba l'rajikazavni, v'avi mekach tois. Majority of people buy oxen for plowing purposes. And this would be a mistaken deal. You can't plow with a goring animal, it's impossible to control it. Ashminin chachomim, dahil v'nokit moicher domi. The rabbis are telling me that since the seller is holding on to the money, Havili Idoch Motzi Mechavero, the purchaser is now called a Motzi. He's trying to extract the money from the seller. Ve'olav Haraya, it's upon him to bring proof. So that the expression Zeh Klal Godel Bedin tells me that even though the seller would be seemingly in a weak position because the majority buy for plowing and it would appear to be a Mekach Tois, the big principle, this powerful principle that the rabbis teach of Motzi Mechaver Odora applies here as well. That the buyer, if he wants to get his money back, he'll have to bring proof that he bought it for plowing purposes. The Gemara continues and asks, Amai, why does Shmuel say that we put the burden of proof on the buyer to bring proof that he bought it for plowing purposes? You notice the triangle marking appears on the side of them under our mivne, under our structural note. We indicate shelos biur. These are questions of clarification. Kidei lavin, in order to understand, based on sibus kemes amachlikis Rav Shmuel. Under what circumstances does this disagreement between Rav and Shmuel apply? So we continue. V'nechsi, why not just look, analyze? E gavra dezovin l'radya, e gavra dezovin l'nachsosa. Is this a person that buys for plowing, or is this a person that buys for slaughtering? Is it a farmer, or is it a butcher? If it's a farmer, so then you call off the deal. If it's a butcher, the deal stands. Wouldn't that be an easy way of settling the matter? Lo, tzricha, no. It's necessary to teach that if the buyer wants to get his money back, it's not enough simply to settle it this way, because begavra dezovin l'halacha, we're talking about a person that actually buys for both purposes. He has a farm and he also sells meat. So it's not clear just by looking at his identity what we should do. So the Gemara asks, but still, v'nechsi, isn't there another way to settle the matter? V'nechsi e demei ridya l'ridya. Demei is money paid ridya for plowing. A plowing ox costs more than a meat ox. So we look at how much money was paid. E demei ridya, if a lot of money was paid for, namely that which you would pay for ridya for a plowing ox, the ridya then, it was obviously bought for plowing. And based on the money alone, we would say that if it turns out to be goring, it's a mekach tois. E demei nachsosa. Nachsosa means slaughtering. Lu nachsosa. If a lesser amount of money was paid, the deal goes through. Lo tzricha. No, it's not possible to settle the matter just by looking at the money amount that was paid. And if the buyer wants to get his money back, he'll have to bring proof. The oikir bistro v'koy b'demei ridya. Meat prices went up so high that a meat ox costs the same as a plowing ox. So we can't settle the matter just by looking at the amount of money that was paid. Amri, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Still, why all the fighting over here? So we have a person that bought an animal. Turns out it's not. He claims, he claims I don't like this, and the seller, Shmuel said, the seller can say, I sold it to you for slaughtering purposes. Why does the buyer have any problem? Why is he arguing? If the seller doesn't have the money to return, just keep the animal instead of the money. Diamri Inchi, there's a common saying amongst people, Mimore Rashvisach Pori Ephra. From someone who owes you money, collect even bran. Meaning, when someone owes you money and you're having difficulty, let's say, collecting the money in terms of cash or in terms of high quality land or something that you find desirable, and all he's offering you is something of, let's say, poor quality, but value-wise, it's the same thing. Instead of a small amount of gold, he's offering you a carload of wheat bran. But it's the same value. Take whatever you can get, so to speak. So you're holding on to an animal. What do you want? Cash? If he doesn't have the cash, just keep the animal. Sell it, do something with it. But you've got value in your possession already. What's the big deal? Lo tzricha, the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel concerns a case to ikalish to the mimine. He has, the seller has the cash. Rav Omar Harei Zeh Mekach Tois. Rav says, in this controversy between the buyer and the seller, you call off the deal, and the buyer has a right to his money. He can claim that I didn't expect to get a goring ox, and I want my cash back. Zil Basaruba Vruba Dinshi Lirijihu Dezavni. You settle money matters, money controversies, by following the majority, and the majority of people buy for plowing. And when the buyer claims thusly, he is part of a majority of sales. People buy for plowing. Shmuel Omar, Yochel Shiomer Lo. Shmuel says that the mocher, the seller, can say, L'shchita mechartiv loch, v'lozin abosa rubo, I sold it to you for meat purposes, for slaughtering, and we don't follow the majority. Kiazlin abosa rubo b'isura. There is a concept of following the rove. That's when you're in a realm of halacha concerning, let's say, we'll call it isur or ritual matters. You follow the majority. Avo b'mamona, when it comes to monetary matters, lo azlinon boser rubo. We don't follow the majority. Elo hamotzi mechaver, all of araya. Rather, the one who wants to extract, the one who wants to receive payment, he is the one that must bring proof to his claim. And it's this that the Chachomim were teaching when they said, when we said, Ze klal godol bedin, hamotzi mechavero olav araya. Tanyo nami hochi. And as we said before, we have a Tanaic source that supports Amora's presentation that we saw at the beginning of the Gemara of Yudah Mar Shmuel, that said that our Mishnah, when you have the doubt concerning the fetus, the Mishnah's ruling that the compensation for the fetus will be revia nezek, split what would otherwise have to be paid, is in accordance with Sumchas, not in accordance with the Rabbanan. Tanya Nami Hachi, Shor Shenogach es Aporah v'nimtza ubro b'tzida. V'eino yodea im ad shelo nogcha yolda im mishenogcha yolda. Mishalem chatzi nezek lepora urovia nezek levlad. Divrei Sumchas. Word for word what we've seen before. You see a dead fetus. You don't know whether the miscarriage took place before the goring or as a result of the goring. So for the victim mother, half damages are paid. There's no element of doubt. And we're dealing with a short tam. A short tam will pay maximum half damages. The vlad, though, there's an element of doubt. Did the aggressor gore an animal still pregnant or not? So we split what would have had to be paid. Otherwise, half, and now it becomes a quarter. Shvachomim omrim hamotzi mechavera olav araya. The chomim disagree with Sumchas and say that the victim will have to bring proof that the animal was still pregnant at the time of the goring. Otherwise, that victim cannot receive compensation for the miscarriage. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. There's a double underline and volcano shape. On the side of the Gemara, under the Mivnet, we highlight that these introduce Shnei Deus Ma Nilmud Me Aposuk Mi Baal Dvorim. The Gemara will cite Aposuk Mi Baal Dvorim Yigash Aleim, and two approaches as to what are we to learn from that Pasuk. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the Gemara, Minayin La Motzi Mechavel Varaya, what is a scriptural source? Where do we know in the Torah that one who is trying to extract payment, to claim payment from his friend, the burden of proof is upon him? He was trying to receive the money. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Mi Baal Dvorim Yigash Alehem. Baal Dvorim is a reference to someone who's coming with a claim. He is Motzi Mechavero. The Pasuk says, Yigash Alehem, Yagish Rayo Alehem. Present your proof to your claim. That's your claiming payment, so that's your Motzi Mechavero. Motzi is to take out, to extract from your friend. Bring the proof. Maskif Lo Rav Ashi. Halomalikra, Rav Ashi says, what do I need a pasuk for that? Savora who? It's a matter of logic. The koyev le keva, literally, someone who has a pain, he goes to the doctor. The idea being, you have a problem, you have to bring proof. Ela kra, the pasuk mi baal dvarim, l'chrav Nachman amarabu bavua. Its role is to teach me something else. Rav Nachman's teaching. The Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua. Minayin she'ein mizkokin elo l'toivea tchila. People argue with one another in some, let's say, monetary matter. So you have A claiming from B. Rav Nachman says that we act upon the Toveah first, the one who's laying his claim. We act upon his claim first, and we'll look into Rashi shortly to appreciate what was just said. But from where do we know that we act upon his claim first? Shenemar, mi baal dvorim yigash alehem. The baal dvorim is the Toveah, the one making a claim. Yigash aleihem means Yagish Dvorov aleihem. He presents his case. In order to appreciate this, Rashi is mandatory. On the top line, She'ein is kokin elul tevea tchila kegoin, Ruvein tevea mishimon, mona. Ruvein is making a claim from Shimon of a mona. Mona is 100 shilveu. Reuven claims, I lent you $100. For Shimon Meshivoi Tofasto Misheli, you already took from me. Shimon's not denying that a loan, that he had received a loan. Shimon is simply saying, you got your payback already, because you grabbed from me. Hachzer li ma shetofasto, return to me that which you grabbed from me. O mashkon hoya biyadcha v'nifchas midomov shenishtamashtebo, or Shimon claims you had collateral from me and its value has been diminished because you used it. Betchila nizkokin l'taynes Ruvein u'motzien lo hamona mishimon. First, we act upon Ruvein's claim and we take from Shimon $100. And so the court holds $100 that it took from Shimon. V'acher kach nizkokin loy l'tainas Shimon, and then we deal with Shimon's claim lodun al dvar hatfisa v'amashkon, regarding his claim of Reuven having taken something from him, or the collateral issue. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Amri Nahardoi, Pa'omim Shinizkokin Lenit Batchila. There are times that we deal first with the Nitba. He is the one from whom payment is being claimed. We deal with his argument first. Vehechi Domi, and under what circumstances might that be? Deka Zili Nichse. Literally means because his property is becoming cheapened. Once again, Rashi tells us the full picture. So let's look at Rashi. To Kozili Nichse, Shiesh Kan Tagorim, in the vicinity where the disagreement is taking place, there are Tagorim, there are merchants, there are businessmen, Shiknu Bidomim Yikorim, that they're willing to pay a lot of money for the item that Shimon is claiming. They'll pay a lot of money for it. Tomorrow they'll disappear from the scene. Therefore, since there's a time factor, so the court will extract from the Toveah that which Shimon is claiming. He'll sell it, get a good price for it. And then the court will deal with the person making the claim. Inami, another pressing consideration, Shikarka Oisov Zolois Ayadei Tviazu. Reuven is claiming payment from Shimon. the public sees that Shimon is under pressure to pay up. What happens as a result? When a person is under pressure, the value of their properties drops. People see that a man's under pressure, he'll part with his properties at whatever cost. Therefore, if the court takes from the Tovea the item that the Nitba, that the one being claimed from, is claiming, after all, Reuven is claiming from Shimon, but Shimon is saying, hey, but you know, you took from me something for, as your payment. So we take that item from Reuven, or the collateral that Reuven is claimed to have taken, we'll sell that, and then the eventual payment will be made from that. And that way we'll protect Shimon from his dropping property values. We turn back to the Gemara. V'chein pora shenokha es hashor, an animal, a pregnant animal, gored a shor, and the payment scale was taught in the Mishnah as follows: Mishtalim chatzi nezek min haporo, or via nezek min avlad. Half damages will be paid from the mother, a quarter damage from the child, from the newborn or the miscarriage. It's mashma, from an arithmetic standpoint, that the nizak is collecting three quarters damage. The Gemara points this out. Chatzi nezek u revia nezek. You said a half nezek, half damage payments from the para, a quarter damage payments from the extracted from the vlad. Palga niskahu de boy shlumi. All that's required is paying a total of half damages. Kule niska nichi riva maya vidite. The entire amount minus a quarter, which is the Gemara's way of saying three quarters damage. What is it doing over here? My avidite, what's its nature? What's its presence over here? Where do you get three quarters damage from? That's not reasonable. As we look on in the Gemara, we have some structural business to deal with. On the side, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have bow ties that highlight Abaye, and later, second line from the bottom, you see Rava. The triangles represent Nisyonos Lefaresh Ma Kavonos HaMishneh Shanizak Goive Chatzi Nezek Miporo Via Nezek Me'avlad. These are attempts to explain the Mishnah that said a quarter, a half from the mother, a quarter from the Vlad, from the offspring. Debekach Nira Shanizak Goive Yosem Chatzi Nezek. From this it seems that the Nizak is collecting more than half damages, and he's not entitled to that. And then Nizak is the victim, the one who suffered the loss. Now, the Gemara. Omar Abaye. Chatzi Nezek, the term Chatzi Nezek of the Mishnah, really means Echod Me'arbo Benezek. It means a quarter of the total damages. Chatzi Nezek of this means half of what he would have paid had there been no Vlad there. Namely, if there had been no Vlad in the picture, if the aggressor animal was without a Vlad, then half damages would pay. Now that there's a Vlad in the picture, you pay half of that, a quarter damage. Uravia Nezek, that you see in the Mishnah, that Ravia Nezek means Echod Mishmoyne Benezek. It's really one-eighth of the total. It's one-eighth of the damages. So if you add up the numbers, you have a quarter and an eighth. Well, a quarter is made up of two-eighths. So two-eighths and one-eighth, three-eighths damage. Now that's a strange amount. 3/8 damage. The Gemara asks, it raises the issue, the im para uvlad the chad ninu, if the mother and offspring, the aggressor animals, were owned by one person, hachinami the motzi omale labal para, the nizak, the victim, can say to the aggressor, mimonav shachatzi nezek havli, whether your aggressor animal was pregnant or not, you owe me half damages. What's this 3/8 business that Abaye is talking about? If the offspring and the mother are owned by one person, this one owner is responsible for the damages, so pay half. Elo lo tzricha. Abaye's teaching that a half of the Mishnah really means a quarter in the Mishnah really means an eighth. De poro de chad, uvlad de chad. A man had a cow, and he made a deal with someone. Someone said, you know, I want to buy, not your cow, I want to buy the fetus that your cow will give birth to. So you have two owners in the picture. You have the owner of a cow and the owner of the vlad. The vlad, from the word, like the word yeled, the offspring. You have two owners. The fact that you have two owners already enables us to see how there are elements of doubt here in how the payment shall be made. Before we get into, I will say, a final explanation, let's go along with the flow of the Gemara. V'i dekodim tave lebal para tchila. If the victim lays claim to the owner of the cow, remember we have two owners, one owns the mother and the other owns the offspring. So if the claim was made first to the bal para, Hachinami, the Omar Le Labal Para, the victim can make a claim whereby he'll get full restitution by saying to the Baal Para, the Omar Le Labal Para, Para Didach Azikson, your Para, your animal definitely damaged my shore, my ox. Have li raya de isloch shutfi. You will have to bring proof that you have a partner in crime, so to speak, partner in damage creation. And until you bring, and by bringing, of course, by demonstrating that you have a partner, so then that would be good reason for you not to pay me everything that I expect you to pay, all the full half damages. But until you can bring proof that your para was not acting alone, namely that the damage took place while your para was pregnant and the fetus was also part of the damage to my ox, until you can bring proof to that, you owe me half damage. So what is the explanation of the Mishnah according to Abaye that says 3/8 are paid? Elo dekodim tavei lebal vlad tchila. The nizak, the victim, goes to the owner of the vlad first. The omar lei, the owner of the mother, of the mother cow, seeing that the victim went first to the vlad, you know what the owner of the cow says, the mother cow says, Golis adaitach, you have revealed, the shutfa isli, that my animal did not act alone. So from the fact that you are conceding that my animal didn't act alone, you're not entitled to get your full chatzinezit, your full half damages from me. Therefore, I'm not paying you any more than a quarter. If I have a partner in crime, then maximum that you're going to get from me is a quarter of the damages. Now, what does the Baal HaVlad say? He's the one that's being sought out first. So if you look in Rashi, four lines from the end, there's a little star we included. Baal HaVlad Omar Lei, the owner of the Vlad, says to the victim, E vadai im Vlad nokha havoi ano shutfa. If the goring took place while my Vlad was still inside the goring mother, and I'm a partner in crime, so Riva deniska umachayav noloch Rivka deniska, I also would be liable in paying a quarter of the damages, namely a half of the total amount that you're entitled to. You're entitled to half. Half of a half is a quarter. However, it's not definite that my Vlad was in the animal at the time of the goring, when it was part of the aggressive act of Nezek. Hashta de Misafkaloch, now that there is an element of doubt, Shminis Mishtalamis Minoi, you'll be able to collect from me only an eighth. So with this construction, we can understand where the 3/8 that Abaye explained comes from, where the victim turns first to the owner of the Vlad, who is separate and distinct from the owner of the mother. And with that, he enables the owner of the Para to pay no more than a quarter of total damages. The quarter, once again, represents half of what he otherwise would have had to pay. The Vlad also is not going to pay a full quarter of the damages because of the element of doubt. Maybe the Vlad was born before the damage took place. Iko Diamri, another approach to understand the Abaye, the 3/8. Afal gav de kodem tavi lebal pora tchila. Even if the victim sought payment first from the definite aggressor mother cow, the Baal HaPora aggressor cow will pay only a quarter. Motzi Matchile, the owner of the Pora, aggressor Pora, can push off the victim. The Omar Lei, the Baal HaPora says, Meida Yadi, the Shutfa Isli, it's known that I have a partner. According to the Iko Diamri, then, the Baal HaPora is not going to have to pay more than a quarter of full damages either way. Either if the Baal HaVlad was sought out first, or even if the Baal HaPora was sought out first for payment. Omar Rava. Rava opposes Abaye's approach and says, Otu echod me'arbo'o b'nezek v'echod mishmone b'nezek kotoni. Does the Mishnah say that? Does it say one quarter and one eighth? Chatzi nezek urvia nezek kotoni. The Mishnah speaks about half damages and a quarter damage. Elo omar Rava, li'olam b'poro uvlad dechad. Rava says that the Pora and the Vlad are owned by one person, not like Abaye explained. V'hachi ko'amrinon. And thusly, we are saying, Esau l'poro, if the Pora is around, mishtalem chatzi nezek mipora. Half damages will be collected from the cow. We continue at the top of Daf Mem Zayin. Lesa l'poro, if the cow is not around, mishtalem revia nezek mivlad. So a quarter of the damages will be paid from the Vlad. Taima, the reason that only a quarter of the damage will be paid from the Vlad, to lo yadino ni have Vlad bahado kinako ilo have. We don't know whether the Vlad was part of the damage, of causing the damage or not. We don't know if the Vlad was still inside the mother when the mother as aggressor caused the damage or not. Aval ipshitolon dahave vlad bahado kinoka, if it was obvious to us, we knew for sure that the vlad was together with the mother when the goring took place. And right now the mother is simply not around. Mishtalim kule chatzinezek mi vlad. The entire half damage could be collected from the Vlad. Rava Latame, Rava in saying thusly, is consistent with what he said elsewhere, the Omar Rava. Rava makes two points. The first one parallels our discussion, and the second point is a point of contrast. Number one, Pora Shazika, a pregnant animal that causes damage, Goyve Mivlada, collection can be made from the offspring. My taima, gufa, he, the offspring is part of the body. It's like a limb of the mother. So if the value of the vlad covers half the damages, so that you can collect from the vlad, it's part of the cause of damage. Gufa, he, it's part of the body of the para. Tarnagelis shizika, Eino gova mi beit sasa. A chicken that caused damage, and it happened to have eggs inside of it, collection will not be made from the eggs. Mai taimo. Why is that? Pirsha bi alma hu. The eggs are considered, Rashi says, Pirsha dover ha mufrosh mimena. Something that is separated from it. It's not considered like a limb of the chicken. The Omar Rova. Ein shomin lepora b'fnei atzmo ulivlad b'fnei atzmo. Rashi points out that Rova's comment here is a throwback to the beginning of the Mishnah that spoke about a shor, an ox that gored a pregnant animal. And let us work with the assumption that we know that the para was pregnant at the time it was gored. And now we have to calculate how much is paid. We do not do the following. Ein shaman, we don't make an evaluation of how much does a cow on its own cost, and how much does a calf cost on its own? How much is the child worth on its own? Ela shomin levlad al gav pora. But rather, we look at the value of an animal that's pregnant. How much was the animal worth before? And how much is the animal now that it has experienced a miscarriage? Let us take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi we find on the third narrow line, Ein Shomin Areshokoi. As we explained, Rava's comment is backed on the Resha, the first case of the Mishnah, Shor Shenogach Zapor Vipila, an ox gored and caused a miscarriage. Ein Shomin Kol Echo Bifnei Atzmo. We don't evaluate how much is each one worth on its own. She'ilin Demei HaNezek Harbei. The amount of damage then would be much more than the actual value. Avol shomin paramu beres kamo isiyof etchilot. We evaluate how much is a pregnant cow worth while it was pregnant. V'kami shov achshav, and how much are things worth now? Im mesa, if it's dead, or im chaya, if the mother is still alive. But our point of reference, our initial evaluation is that of a pregnant cow. Not a cow by itself plus a separate calf. Because if, as we said, if you were to do that, let's read on in the Gemara. She'im i'ata omer kein, if you don't say, like we just said, that the evaluation starts with the value of a pregnant cow, if you're not going to say like that, but rather the other way that you value each one separately, nimtzata makfish es hamazik, you're weakening, you're causing an exceptional loss to the mazik, to the aggressor. He's losing out. And two more points, a total of 3 points that have this theme appear. So number two, v'chein ata moitze, similarly you find, v'koitea yad avdoi shel chavero, one who cuts off the arm of the slave of his friend. The same consideration is made when making the evaluation of damage. Rashi explains. Let's learn Rashi together. B'koteh yad abdi shechavero, ein shomin, we do not evaluate hayad b'fnei atzmo, the hand on its own. Lomar, what does it mean to evaluate a hand on its own? Kamo odom roitze lito l'toy yad eved kozeh, how much would a person take to have a slave's arm cut off? The vadai haroya avdoi sholem, obviously when a person sees a healthy, complete slave, ein koitea yodov ela bedomim rubim, in order to agree for the arm of a healthy slave to be amputated, he would agree so only in exchange for a lot of money. So we don't evaluate the arm on its own in those terms. Avol, what do we do? Shomen eved zeh kama hu shav achshav. We look at an armless slave. How much is he worth now? V'kama ho yashav etchila, how much was he worth beforehand? Number three, we turn back to the Gemara. V'chein ata moitze b'mazik sodesh shachavero. Similarly, with regard to someone who causes damage to someone's field. Imagine a field has rows and rows of vegetation. And someone's animal ate a complete row of vegetation. We don't say how much is this row of vegetation worth, and the mazik pays in kind, but rather, you look at the field and you say how much is this field with all of its rows worth, and how much is the field worth minus one row. That difference in value is what the mazik, what the offender will have to pay, but not a single row in isolation. That would be more expensive, more costly, and that would be asking the offender to pay more than he ought to pay. Omar le Rav Acha Brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. So as we continue in the Gemara, Rav Acha asks a very simple question. V'i dinahu, if that is the letter of the law, likush mazik, namely, when we opened up this discussion, Rava pointed out that if you were going to evaluate the mother on its own and the vlad on its own, you're makhish as a mazik, you're weakening the mazik's position. You are taking you're doing an injustice to the mazik. If that's what the law requires, so then let us do that. So the Gemara answers no, because it's unjustified. It's not a matter of simply weakening his position. It's unjustified. Mishum di Omar le, the mazik says, claims, para mabrosa zikso, para mabrosa shaymin olach, I damaged a pregnant animal. I will pay in accordance with the difference between the original value of a pregnant animal and its value now. I did not damage an isolated calf, which would have, of course, cost more. Therefore, the Mazik's, Rava's method of evaluation is in accordance with what actually took place. And it's certainly a description of the letter of the law. The Gemara continues with another new point. Pshita para dechad uvla dechad. If you have a situation where the animal, the para, the mother, was owned by one, and the fetus was the unborn, had been purchased by someone else, then there's, you have two owners, and damage took place. Pitma labal para. Pitma has to do with fatness. An animal, even the word pitma, if you look at it on a phonetic level, you can see the word fat in that word. There's a fat value that an animal has. And we're dealing with an animal that was now injured, and we break down different aspects of the loss involved. So the fat value, that goes to the owner of the cow. Why? Because the fat of a mother cow has nothing to do with the fact that it is pregnant. In other words, the fetus is a fetus. It's not fat. So the fat is something that is associated, that is part of the mother on its own. Nivcha mai. Nivcha is the increased size of an animal. The fact that the animal looks larger, that increases the value of an animal. That's the nefach, the volume, the mass of the animal. Rav Papa Amar Labal Para. That value is also paid. That, we'll say, the depreciation that happens as a result of the injury, the depreciation in its nefach value, is paid to the owner of the cow. Rav Acha Brei de Ravika Amar Cholkin. When it comes to the mass value, they split. The owner of the mother and the owner of the Vlad split. Thus, as far as a cow's mass is concerned, it is increased by the presence of the Vlad. So he, the owner of the Vlad, is entitled to depreciation that's associated with loss in the nefach value. The Hilchisa Cholkin, and the Gemara itself rules that regarding the nefach, the mass value that experienced depreciation as a result of the nezek, they split that amount. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.